So we have the schus to continue in the Heilig Chayvus Alavavais, and we hear it in Perek Dalet. And the Chayvus Alavavais, last week we learned about the amount of ishtadlus and attitude necessary when seeking medical help. And here, the Chayvus Alavavais, as we progress, returns to old topics, but in greater depth. And he goes back to the old subject of Parnasa, and he explains to us a little better how one should approach his Hanhaga in Bitachon and Parnasa. Now he says that there are many different areas where we are involved in our Parnasa. There's Mischar, that's business, Malacha, actual physical work. The Siyah B'drachim, if they go make travels, travel around. His Ma'as Nalai, the person is appointed to a position, that's where he gets his Parnasa from. He has a certain position which comes with a salary. Schiris is that he is, it's not so much the position, but the actual salary itself. Sometimes you work for the government, you work for the king, B'sheiris Amalucha. Sometimes you're an agent, sometimes it's Kabbalana, sometimes you're a contractor. Sometimes you're in banking, he says. Sometimes you lend money, you borrow money, you're in job, the money changing. Sometimes you take, you guard money, people's money for them. There are so many different ways, so many different details involved in a person getting a parnasa. And we travel to all kinds of places, sometimes in the midbar, sometimes in the yam. All kinds of things in order to gather in hoin and maisris, wealth and a lot of extra wealth. So he said it is, the main yesod is, again, it sounds so poshut, but when you hear it from him, it somehow it just has a different klang. Zok there, the tzur nechayin of bitachin of the Rabbi Shlom is, that a person, whatever the particular form of his ishtadlus is, whatever the tzur is, a person should, has kavana, should be the focus, that I'm working kedei tzarech mechiyasai imezayin levad. I'm working only for the basics. I'm working to pay my rent and to pay my bills. That's all I'm working for. So that I'll be masig enough money to pay for mashe echrechi l'kiyumi. I am paying for that which is essential for my sustenance. If the Rabbi Shlom is geyser, that I should get more than that, then anything extra will come without nitircha and yegiyah. So the Chavos Levavos here, we're going to the other side now, the other side of the coin. Earlier on, we learned again and again the idea that basically even the ishtadlus for those things that are necessity, the things I must have, the basic food, the basic clothing, the basic shelter, that a person has to mishtadla. And that is really a nesayin from Hashem. Even the mishtadla, I have to believe that's all coming from the Rabbi Shlom. It's shayach to be potter from that too. If a person is such a ben Torah and such a Eved Hashem that he'll be totally involved in learning and davening and avodas Hashem or chasadim, then you can be part of him from the curse of working for the basic necessities. But if not in a madrega, so the average person, and that is whom the Chavos Levavos is addressing, has to work a basic ishtadlus for that which he needs. You have to work what you need. Of course, everybody has different needs. But once a person has established his needs of the Chavos Levavos, do what you have to do, but don't do one iota more to get more money than you need. For your kiyum. Now, of course, again, everybody has a different concept of what they need, you know. Different people, you know, some people they have to have they have to go in a Land Rover, they have to go in the land, they have to lease this Toyota land, I don't know what it is, you know, this huge giant thing. Some people you can get along with a little Honda, some people can get along, some people have to have an Avalon. I mean, there's all kinds of different necessities. Once they got into the Avalon, they just can't drive a Camry anymore. And once they got the Camry, they couldn't go into that Corolla anymore. And before the Corolla, they were happy with a little Nissan Sentra. Hasagas grow. But once it is, so again, everybody, but with the Maisa today, you know what you need to pay your bills every year. I mean, you do have your tax form, you know what you needed to pay your bills this year. Shine. So you need $100,000 already to live this year. Okay. Some people are happy if they could just be with $100,000. Okay, $100,000 you need to live on this year. That's it. Do what you have to do to make $100,000. Do what you have to make $2,000 a week. And anything more than that, you should know that if it's, that the extras, Mamonashech, if it's coming to you, it's going to come without tirch and yegiyah whatsoever. When you bateach b'Hashem, it's going to come. And if it's not coming to you, then it's not going to come whatsoever, no matter how much you do. If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to shlo yelak yaisim echdei mechiyasai, as gamim mishtadlu kalabrum shebishmayim v'arz, not only your shtadlu is not going to help. Even if you enlist the G'dayli Ador and the Lol Dam of you, and you get the Moetzes G'dayli Ador, they tell them for you three times a day, and you get every Rebbe in the world to be Marish Alamas for you, it's not going to help a mashu, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to already what you're supposed to get. As the Chavetz Chaim says, it's not Nigzer Rosh Hashanah only. Rosh Hashanah is just Nigzer part of it. It's Nigzer before you were born. It's Nigzer at the Briyas HaOilam, how much money you're going to make, and more you're not going to get. It's not going to change it. You can't b'shum in your wife, and you cannot change. When you have bitachon, then you'll have a different benefit. You'll have menuchas halev, shalvas hanefesh, that whatever is niktzav, whatever is designated to you, will not go to anybody else. And whatever is coming to you won't come a minute earlier and won't go a minute later. The check is in the mail and the check is not going to get here a day earlier, a day later. And sometimes it's amazing how the check gets to you real fast. And sometimes the person will hand deliver the check when it's coming to you. And sometimes you wait 5 weeks and the check doesn't come. It's all Nigzer Min HaShemayim. Now everything is Min HaShemayim. Again, everything, even the basics is Nigzer Min HaShemayim. Even on the basics, the basics also is Nigzer Min HaShemayim, but that's what he's saying. The basics, what you need for your parnasa, that already there's a gzeira v'shtadlus. Again, you can be in the madrega that you can break the gzeira. You can be mufka from the gzeira. A person can be, they have to make no hishtadlus, kamat, nothing. Mamish, the mashu should be mashu, maybe it shouldn't be a nais. And the truth is, if you want to live up hiderech nais, I believe you can live up hiderech nais also. But if you're not holding by that, so you have to do hishtadlus for that which is coming to you. Again, he said, and the sign is that when you're doing the shtadlus, you still know it's from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But what's beyond what the basics, then you should know that b'chlal, your shtadlus is formed b'teilim b'talim. At least when it's for what you need, then your shtadlus is with the Ratz Hashem, and Hashem wants you to do it, and you shouldn't feel, I'm wasting my time, I'm just wasting my time. Not wasting your time, doing the right thing, and you will see, you'll see something from your shtadlus. L'chayra, al piderech hateva, you should see some results. But what's more than what you need, you're just mamish wasting your time. Okay. Now, he says like this. Now, just to, before I go any further, let me go a little further. Now I'll bring you some fantastic examples of what the shtadlus is all about from the Medrash and yesterday's Parshias, and Parshas Pekuda and the Yaakov Pekuda. There's two very important Medrashim on the subject. But let me first do justice to the Chavos Levavos. Let's go a little further, and then we will backtrack. So here the Chavos Levavos, in his usual analytic way, tells you that sometimes a person, now he goes to another area. You know, there's one thing to think about being befaras yourself, mamish yourself. But the truth of the matter is that often a person is befaras other people. Many times, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes it that one person is the source of parnasa for other people. And the reason why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes it that one person should be the source of parnasa for many is, again, it's a test. It's a test on the mefarnes to see if he does it with erlichkeit and he's doing it as an eved Hashem, or he's doing it on his own. It's a nesayon. It is a nesayon. So, like a mashal, a king pays the salaries for all of his troops, of his army, and all his generals. And he pays the salaries for all of his cabinet ministers, and his prime ministers. And he pays for all the governors. That's what he used to be in the olden days. And he's paying for their children and children's children and for their avodim and everything. So the king has a tremendous amount of people under his on his payroll. So he says a person who defines other people, if he's a tippish, he says he makes three mistakes. There are three mistakes a person can make if he's defining somebody else. One mistake. Mistake number one is that a person should say, well, you know, I'm supporting so many people, and my money is not for me anyway, and I'm doing for others, so therefore I have permission to cut corners and to cheat and to steal more than the average person. If I was being fired myself only, so what right do I have to take money away from somebody else in order to fire myself? But since I am a fire other people anyway, so I'll be Robin Hood. I take from the rich and give to the poor. So since I'm a fire other people, that gave me a new license that I have the right to cheat. Because I'm working with Tzarchei Rabbim. Does it sound familiar? I'm working for the Rabbim. I'm not working for myself. I'm working for the Rabbim. So therefore, my money is being spread out anyway, I can cheat. So that's the first terrible mistake a person would make, that because he's mefaras others, he doesn't have to be honest, doesn't have to be erlich, and follow the Ratzon Hashem. That's second mistake that a person can make when he mefaras others. He would think that when a person makes a lot of money, that he would think, Taka, the money is for himself. A person should always ask himself, Taka, maybe the reason I got the money in the first is Taka for others. And a person can be very stingy. And Hashem can give a person a lot of money. And having a lot of money is a big nisayon. Because a person can Taka say to himself, it's for me. So the minute a person gets extra money, more than he really needs to live on, his first reaction should be, am I supposed to put this in a big CD? Am I supposed to put this in a mutual fund? Most of us invest in real estate, or maybe Bechlal. I mean, the money was in 1 second. What did I get all this money for? It's more than I need. So maybe the whole reason I got the money in the first place is for other people. So, and therefore, he says, a person should understand, again, a person should realize that his parnassah is divided into three parts. He's always doing these nituchim, these autopsies, these dissections. So he says, you should know that a person's parnasa is divided into three parts. One, the chelek echad is that a person, the main parnasa tak is for my own michya. I have to, for me mamish, me. The first you start my parnasa is me. Me, number one. That parnasa, not... Okay, Zok the Chavad Levavis, okay. You should know, when it comes to your own parnasa, mamish your own parnasa, this is muftach melakim l'chol nivra asher beruah chayim atzayif yamav. As far as our own parnasa, any living thing, not only a human being, a bird, a fish, an ant, a cockroach, a rat, you name it, anything that's living, anything that's a ruach chayim b'nishmasai, if you're alive, you're guaranteed parnasa. Just as you're guaranteed this air to breathe, you're guaranteed parnasa. There's not, by yourself, there's nothing to worry about. You're going to live. We're going to have food. For me, moi, there's always for me. Just, a bird doesn't worry that the Mishnah in the end of Kedushin. You never saw a lion that was moonlighting an extra job. You never saw a deer that decided it's going to enter into the racetrack to earn extra money on the side, little extra change. The deer, they just go rambling around, browsing, grazing, munching, crunching. They have nothing to worry about. So too for yourself, you have nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. If you're alive, you have parnasa. That's it. You can have parnasa. You're going to get whatever you need. What Hashem thinks you need, mind you. For yourself, absolutely nothing to worry about. The second chaylik of parnasa is, what is given to you in the Shemayim for other people, which is even your wife and your children, your avodim, your sharsim, the people mamash like working for you. This is not muftach loy, is not muftach. And this is a little bit different. Now I thought about this a lot. This is a very strange statement, I must confess. And since I just learned it last night, I have a chance to consult with people who know much better than me. This is a gewaltig chiddush. Ordinarily, we think in terms of our family being an extension of ourselves, and or my workers, or my immediate workers that I need for my basic lifestyle. That's me. Zokta, no. Yourself is one thing, and your even anybody that's not you, mamish, it's a little bit different. It's not as definite as yourself. Now, and here already these different sibas. You need different ways. It's not muftach. Ain't he muftachas? L'chol abruim. And it's only given to special people, under certain special circumstances that only Hashem knows. And sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. And it's totally, he says, the mishpat Hashem, it has to do with chesed, has to do with din. Very interesting. So this again, this is food for thought. Your family is not Jew. A person should always understand that I come first. Al pi halacha, you know, I mean, you think about it. Al pi halacha, we all know the famous Gemara in Bab Metzia. What's it? The Sam of Beis. Famous machlokes, Rabbi Akiva ben Petura. Two people walking in the desert, one canteen of water, and it's only enough for one guy to survive on. You have to share the canteen with somebody else. If I share the canteen, we'll both live an extra day, but we'll both die. But if I don't share the canteen, there's enough water for me to get to survive, but my friend is going to die. So Bnei Petura said, share it. Rekiva said, no, you come first. That's the halacha. You shouldn't share it. If you drink, it's suicidal. You shouldn't share it. The Rambam doesn't pass on this for some reason, the famous problem, but as always, take the Gemara from Rabbi Akiva, that you should not share the water. Now, what if that happened to be your child? What if it's your son? Your favorite darling son? Your mama is your Ben Yachid, who you love more than anything, more than your life. Halacha is you come first, though. You come before your son. People, of course, that's difficult people to hear, but that's the halacha. Your wife, your parents, you come first. You come first. You don't have to give it to your father, your mother, your wife, your child, you name it. You come first. The halacha is, a person comes first. A person comes, you know, I think of, doesn't usually, Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't have such an science. I think of Rav Michal Ber Weissmandl, that tremendous hero of the Second World War. Not only was he Meis Nefesh to save so many Yidden, and he's the one who sent out to the Allies the plans for Auschwitz, tell him how to bomb Auschwitz, but he, Taka, finally was deported in 1944. He was deported from Czechoslovakia with his wife and family. And all the cattle car, you know, you can imagine how people were totally discouraged. They felt like, we know what the cattle cars look like. We don't know, but we've heard about it. And he wanted to escape in the worst way, although it was very difficult. But he was a very resourceful person. He wanted to escape. And he encouraged his wife and children, please jump off the cattle car with me. And they wouldn't do it. And, he didn't even blame people. We can jump into where? Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I? What am I going to do when I jump? Where am I going after that? I'll be hunted down like a dog. It's better to just go. We get better to go to a certain death than to be hunted down like a dog. But he jumped. He had the courage to leave his wife and children behind on the cattle car. Because he knew that. The halacha is, you have to save your life. If you can save your life, you save your life. Are you leaving your wife and children? I mean, he's not killing them, but he's leaving them. Some people say, I'd rather die together with my wife and children. And we couldn't blame him. He said, no, I have to, if I have a plan to live, I have to live. If I have the courage to jump, I'll jump. And he jumped. And you know what? He did it. He survived. He got a massive heart attack after the war. He was on the verge of death. But you know what? He came to America. He built a Nitra Yeshiva here. He built a new family. He has children. He has grandchildren. He has great-grandchildren. There's a whole Weissmandl family. There's a Yeshiva Nitra. There's a whole Messiah from him. There's foreign from him. He didn't live that long after, maybe only 10 years after the war. But, Was it worthwhile saving his life? It certainly was. Did he do right? Absolutely. It'd be a great person. You come first. You come first. So Zakta Chavzavavas, that in Parnasa, you should know that for yourself, there's one level, you're guaranteed. Even your wife and children, the minute it's a step beneath you, it's not so guaranteed anymore. To be Zaychat, to Mepharas, your wife and children, is there something else? Grata, we're going to learn the Gemara today at Sanhedrin, which is the Gemara of Yevamah Staf Sam of Beis, and the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin over here, and the Gemara says that that a person should be Oyev as Ishta Kegufay, and you should Mechabed Ishta Banav Yaisem Kegufay. I think there's one way that you can be Mufke from this word of the Chavos of Avos. If a person is Mechabed, his wife and his children more than his own self, which is the right thing actually, he's as far as Parnasa, and you're supposed to, which means that the Marsha, a person should borrow for yourself, you don't go borrow for a new suit. But if your wife needs new clothing, your children need new clothing, they'll feel inferior, they'll feel bad. So if your wife and children, you have to kill yourself to give them a parnasa according to what their hasaga. For yourself, you can cut corners. For your wife and children, you have to mechabed them more than yourself. If a person takes upon himself that his wife and children are even more chashuv than himself, at least as far as parnasa is concerned, again, the emes is in one way, you come first. Of course, with life and death, you come first. But we're talking here about not life and death. If a person makabel himself that to give his wife and children what they need emotionally, psychologically, whatever they need to, if that's what they need, as I understand, say I can't be a baal bitachon in their cheshbon. It's like Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky told me, Beferish, there's a yard site soon. He said, You can't be a Baal Bitachon on Yenim's Cheshbon. And even if a person doesn't believe in life insurance for himself, but if his wife wants life insurance, if a wife wants a husband to have life insurance, because that'll make her feel more secure that if her husband dies, she'll have Parnasa. See, if the husband he's a Baal Bitachon. But you can't be a Baal Bitachon on your wife's Cheshbon. If your wife needs it for her peace of mind, you have to buy life insurance, even though you hold, life insurance is a subject not for today, someday we'll discuss it at great length, even though you hold it's Nairishkeit, it's not necessary. But if your wife needs it, if your children feel secure, do it for your wife, do it for your children. So here too, if a person takes upon himself that he's going to do everything to make his wife and children feel secure and be comfortable, etc., it could be that that raises them to the level like his own self. But that's what I can just tell you what the Chavos Vavos says. Your own parnasa is divided into the three parts of the Arishan, the Helig, the Chavos Vavos. Your own parnasa guarantee, not just you, any living thing, a bee, a bird, a salmon, a tuna fish, Charlie, tuna fish, he is guaranteed his parnasa till he gets into the can. Then he becomes my parnasa. But, then he becomes my lunch. But, till then, he's guaranteed his parnasa. He's gonna have enough little things to eat there in the sea.
I don't understand what he's trying to say by all this.
He said you should.
So what about the next step? What about the family? If your parnasa is guaranteed,
yeah.
What about for, I don't understand what he's.
He's just telling you that for your, for family, you have to do a little more shtadlus. That's exactly the point. He's saying for yourself, you can be very calm. For your family, it's not as guaranteed. That therefore, there's a little more chavis or shtadlus for your family. Which is Mamad Gemara is saying. For your family, you have to do more than for yourself. Actually, maybe that's good shot. He's saying for yourself is one thing, your family is not. The closer it is to your own existence, the more it's mufta from the Rebbe Hashanah. If you exist, Descartes said, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. He says, I am, therefore I am sustained. If I exist, I have parnasa. My family is not me. Every man for himself. Sounds a little cruel, but means to say, for them I have to do more, and that's what the Gemara is saying. For them, it's not such a guarantee. And if I can't, the Gemara says, you have to be mishtadl more for them. You have to be mishtadl more for them. It's not quite as guaranteed.
So if you're saying that, you have to make a decision to do work for your family, or does the family want to do work?
In the family, there's a certain level, if they are used to a certain level, or being the society you live in, there's a certain level that the people are used to, so you don't poo-poo in the begging. Well, you know, when I was a kid, no one went to camp in the summer. So why don't you go to camp in the summer? You kids can play stickball in the street. When I was a kid on the east side, we never, camp, are you crazy? We were happy if we had an ice cream cone once a week. Camp, I should go spend, what are you talking about? This is crazy. You're not going to camp. Play in the street. That's not the way it's done today. You send, leave your kid in the street today, you're going to have a big problem with your kid. So, because that's how you want to be on yourself. You want to say, when I was a kid, we grew up with air conditioning. So you can have a car. Your car, the air conditioning, you busted, and you don't have the air conditioning. Your car, you got to work with. But don't tell your wife, who needs the air conditioning? And Henry Ford, in his first Model T, had air conditioning. If Henry Ford, the Genuk, a Model T, a Schwarz, a Model T, you can have any color you want, as long as it's black, as a good for Henry Ford on the air conditioning. Ihr darf haben air conditioning. King George didn't have air conditioning in his royal coach when he went to his coronation. He was schwitzing on his way to the coronation. And you need air conditioning. So forget it. No air conditioning. No. If your wife needs it, everyone has air conditioning today. Today it's not shy. No yeshiva would dream about not having air conditioning. The stipler never wanted to have a fan in his room. He wouldn't dream of air conditioning. But that's for himself. But for the rest of his family, he'll have air conditioning. For himself, you can be machman yourself. So for your family, you have to go where they're holding.
But only if they ask you, but then you have to do it. Step one of it.
Well, you can also think about them, and maybe they need it without asking too. You know, don't wait. You don't have to wait for people to ask all the time. They can answer with their body language, and not necessarily with their mouths. The point is that's not the main nekuda covers. The point is that you are one. Your parnasa is one thing, and your family is something else. This is a very delicate dakas dik and nekuda that you understand. Usually, we don't separate between ourselves and our family. Zod covers up. You are one thing. Your family is a little different. That's the first thing to remember.
It doesn't make a difference how much I work for me, but it does make a difference how much I work for somebody else.
Again, the Nisayin of Parnassus says, all the time is that nothing makes a difference, really. Everything's from the Rebbe Hashanah. And yet, with normal human beings, you can't jump off a roof. So the things I'm in the Shemayim, right? So Superman will come and catch you. But don't go jumping roofs, please. Please, don't jump off a roof and say, well, Superman's going to come flying in and catch me. Because you gotta be a normal person. So what the Chavos are really saying here, this is the delicate thing about Chavos Levavos, that a Jew has to have Sula Mutzav Arza V'Roisha Magia Shemaima. We are a ladder with our feet firmly entrenched on the earth and our head is in heaven. My head in heaven tells me everything's a Rabbanu Shalom. Ein Lomuvad, there's nothing, it's all Narishkeit. And my feet tell me that Yenem's Gashmias is mine Ruchnias. That doing for Yenem's Gashmias is a big Ruchnias for me and I have to do at the Mishtadl. And if I don't want, I gotta do it. And why should I go around collecting money for the yeshiva? Why should I go around and be mice and effort to save kids from shmat? It's all from the Rabbanu Shalom. There's chiyuvim, there's a Torah, and the Torah says I got my 2 feet on the ground, and there's things I gotta do. And don't say if the mitzvah tzilin is coming to me, the pair of tzilin will fly out of the cipher's room and go into my head. You gotta put the tzilin on, you gotta buy the tzilin, you gotta be a normal person. So I was saying like this, for yourself, less to worry about. Involvement for your own personal needs, you can be minimal. And when it comes to your family, it's not so muftach, and you have to work a little harder for them, and sometimes you're zoicha, sometimes you're not. And I'm just trying to explain a little bit better that now in this, I hear better that Gemara over there. For your family, it does make the Gemara, if you're mishtadl more for your family. There's a different level of mishtadlus. Because there's different standards. Your one standard, your family is a different thing. And in the normative way of living life, you have to mishtadl more for those outside of you than for yourself. And for yourself, Akert, you can be muftach that you'll get whatever you need. And the family talk, it's the biggest chus to get what they need. And therefore, you have to do a little more shtadlus. Maybe not zoicha, alpi neis. You have to work a little harder, alpi derech hateva, for your family. The third thing he says is, and the third chelik of your panos is, which is begeder hoin, which is what you don't mamish need. So if you have something left over this week, that you don't have to spend on yourself, and for your own lunches, and you don't have to spend on your wife and your children for tuition and for home and for everything they need, their clothing, and you still have extra money. So what is the pshat in that money? So he says that the tipish, the fool, thinks that any extra money, it means that, shine, no more Camrys for me, that's it. If I got this extra money, it's time for the Lincoln Navigator. I'm really shocked we don't have too many of the, we don't have enough of those in our parking lot. Because that's the natural progression of things. Too many Lincoln Navigator, that's where he's got to go. So the tipish says, if I have extra money, I already pay for my wife Lincoln Navigator, but I'm a simple guy, I just drive a Camry. So maybe it's time for my Lincoln Navigator. No, that's the shite that he says. That if you have extra money, so you have to get cheshbon that this money is not for you. Again, this is not clear. I must confess to you that of all the chavos I've learned till now, this paragraph here, I am not 100%, I'm not sure I understand it 100%, I must say. So he says you should know that if you're going to guard the money for yourself, so you have a choice. Either you can waste it, you can waste it. Or you can just hold on to it for security. You'll say, well, I got extra money I need for a rainy day. The proverbial rainy day. Right? So you should know that if a person has this extra money and he doesn't use it and think to himself, maybe I'm just supposed to give it out to other people and rather I'm saving it only for my rainy day. So you know what's going to happen? What will happen is that it could be that in the end, the money, this is the Lashon, he says, Yitochen. He doesn't take in the cheshbon that she'd Yitochen. Maybe the money you're saving is for your wife's second husband. You thought that was a bad joke, somebody made up. The Chavos Levavos made it up. You thought it was some joke that came from some comedian. The Chavos Levavos said, you don't know, you might be saving the money for your wife's next husband after you die. Or maybe you're saving it for the guy who'll kill you. That could be also your wife's second husband. The guy who's gonna kill you. No, the guy's gonna mug you. So you're saving all this money and one day you're gonna go in your pocket and you're taking from one bank to the other. And on the road, you get mugged, and the money is really for your etzeach. You're enriching your etzeach. Or maybe it's for your biggest sonny in the world. Maybe your biggest sonny will go ahead and jip you and take all the money away from you. So, therefore, a person has extra money has to think a little bit, why do I have extra money? Extra money, he didn't say give it to tzedakah. He didn't say a clear answer. He just says extra money is the hardest thing in the world to figure out. What do I do with the extras? So what I need for myself, guarantees. My family had a little more ziyatama. And now I have extra money. Was to it for the extra money. So he says, another thing is now, if you realize that maybe the money is made that you should finance other people. So the thing you should realize is once you've made up your mind that the money really wasn't given for me, it's really for somebody else. And again, I'm not, I'll just give you an example. Again, this is not my money. But we are at a Maisa here 2 years ago. There was a guy from Eretz Yisrael who never has sick children. Now he himself is very sick. 100% Erlich Yid, Yushalmi. And this fellow used to come to me and I used to give him, you know, money, help him out. I even met him in Yushalayim with a sick kid. Actually, he was in Yushalayim. I met him with a sick kid. So I know it's for real, and he's a wonderful Erlich Yid, and he's a Talmud Chacham. Okay, he came to me once, came to me twice, came to me three times. He's come pretty often already. And you know, there's many people who come, and it's just a little bit much. Well, he came, I'll never forget, he came to the shul here 2 years ago, 2 years in the Masha, the night of the Hesped for Mendy Baum, Alav HaShalom. It's a big Hesped here in shul. Remember, big Hesped here in Nebuch, big tragedy. It was the Hesped, I think it was the Hesped or the Shleishim. No, I don't remember if it was the Hesped or the Shleishim maybe. It was the Shleishim. Big crowd coming to shul. He comes in Mamish right before the Hesped. The shul is packed. He comes in, I'm about to go to the Hesped. I'm taking my swarm to go to the Hesped in the shul. I'm going from the office to the shul. And this fellow comes in and he looks at me with his pleading eyes. And I say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm running to this Hesped. There's people waiting for me over here. I said, you know, I said to him, Vais da, he said, Nish getroffen, not good to show. You didn't come at a good time. This is not a good time. Not a good time. Okay, I go into the Hesped without any further ado, and it takes a long time. Other people spoke too much. I think it was the Shloshim, and it took quite a while. It was over till 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock at the back of the shul, there's a whole bunch of collectors. They're waiting in line to collect money. The Hesped is over, though. One of the great tzaddikim comes running over to me, and he says, oh, I was so nesarif from the Hesped. They want to give the Rav a check that tzedakah, lilo nishmas, the nifter. You know, runs over. Wonderful person. Runs over, gives me a check, an envelope. I want to give it to tzedakah. All right, fine. Anyway, I take a peek at the check. There's some more malait, and we'll take care of them. I walk in the hallway. And there's the Yerushalmi. He's still standing there for 2.5 hours. That was about 2 hours at least. We have a Meir, said Tillam. He's still there. I said, you know, come into my office. I think I have to retract what I said to you before. I think that I told you did Yiddish getroffen a good teshuah. Something tells me that you're jog getroffen a good teshuah. You know what? Someone just gave me a check here for tzedakah. It's pashut. It's got to go to you. It's like, I have no question. There's no reason to give me this money. Here it is. It's all yours. $1,000. It's like another pashut that it was that pashut that the money had to go to him. There's no other reason why the money had to go to him. It's like the Maestro of Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker once was Messiah Kedushim with two gvirim, two big gvirim. And afterwards, they came to his house and they gave him a big fat envelope, both together, both Mitchutan, the Chasl and Kala, put nice fat ruble notes into a envelope, and they gave it to Reb Chaim, you know, pay the Rav for the Misad Kedushin. And that second, the Arman comes in, Reb Chaim was a merdik about tzedakah. Reb Chaim doesn't even open the envelope, doesn't even look, he just, oh, it's all yours. The Gvirim were going crazy. We didn't even look what we gave you. It's our God, it belongs to him, there's no question about it, it belongs to him. He came this moment, it belongs to him. So, the point is, he says, is that when you have extra money, right, you have to ask yourself, there must be a reason for this. There's a reason why this money must be for Anasa. And therefore, he says, in the end, when you do give this money to somebody else, the biggest aveir you could possibly do is that you should think that the person you gave the money to owes you a yashikoyach. And if you really think that mamish, it's you, it's the Rabbi Shlom, it's a schus, you were zeichet to be the mailman for him, the postman for him. If you think mamish, it belongs to you, then you're a shaita. And not only that, if you will, you think like that, you can even lose some of your schar for giving in the first place, because you don't have the right hasaga. Alright, let me just conclude, Rabbi Sai. Again, I'm gonna review this next week. I have to go through this a little bit better. There's a few things in this Chavos Levavos that I don't think I understand 100%. Well, next week we will try to review this. But there's two very important Midrashim and Hayim Degaparsha Bekudei, which speak for themselves. And the first Midrash and Parsha Bekudei, Parsha Nunal of the very first Midrash, Ve'ele Bekudei HaMishkan. Kach Posach Rabbi Tanchuma Barabba. Shteta Posach HaMishlei Chavches Isha Munois Rav Brochois. Isha Muna is Rav Bracha is the man of faith, has lots of blessings. The more the Muna, the more the blessing. Maybe brachas hayada. The person is emes. The person is nema with money. We're talking about money, money. The more honest and the more erlich a person is with money. And erlich doesn't mean you don't steal. Erlich means again that you understand what your chayvus halavavus are with your money. As a matter of fact, the Nanga found this morning, you know, the person is makabel himself the chayvus halavavus, he won't have any other chayvus. We're all afraid in life having chayvus. Chayvus. If a person has the chayvus halavavus right, all other chayvus will go out of his life. So he says, Isha Munais, the person who is faithful and honest and discharges all of his chayvus properly, that person brings brachas al yadai. But a person is not neman. State the end of the pasuk over there. Va'otz lahashir lo yinaka. But the person who's a big rush to get rich, he will not end up clean. When you're greedy, when you're rushed to get rich, you can't come out clean. You're going to have to get messed up. You can't. If you're an Isha Munais, and you know everything you have is from the Rebbein Shlom. Munas means I know I have a Munas Shleima. Every penny is from the Rebbein Shlom. There's a Matara. And it's not necessarily for me. Then Rav Brachas. There'll be more and more Brachas. You. More people will be Gebench to you. You'll be Zeich, be a conduit. But Otz Lahashir, it's a good passage to remember by heart. Otz Lahashir Lo Yinok. If you're in a rush to get rich, you will not come out clean. Isha Munais, Zemayshir Abeinu Shunem Monashil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mayshir Abeinu the Rebbein Shlom B'chol Beis Yinemon Hu. And therefore, by Moshe Isha Munas Rav Brachais Shekol Advarim Shoyegiz Braleim Oyim Zbarchem Lefishu Neman. And the biggest proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Neman was because all the money that was given to him got more and more and more. Agabai Tzedakah. Actually, the biggest proof of Erlich Agabai Tzedakah is that he has Gevaltik Asiyat Shemayim. People are giving him money, and his Karen is growing, and his gate. And when the guy. And when sometimes you see to be like, oh, I was a big Gabbai Tzedakah, I went bankrupt, I got into Chayvus, and now I'm a Tzarist, I'm collecting $500,000 because I got myself, something's wrong. I don't know. The Yisoid of Isha Munais, if you're Emesa Erlich Gabbai Tzedakah, Rav Bracha, there has to be a big Bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kolad Zvorim, Shaya Gizbraleim, Hoyu Mizborchim. Hoyu Mizborchim. Everything he did had a Bracha. That's one Meridik Medrash. Number two medrash here is one of the most famous medrashim ever, and that is the medrash here in Pekudei also, Parshan Nun Beis. Vatischak liyayim acharayim. And she laughs in the last day. He who laughs last, laughs best. In other words, a person, the biggest mistake we have when it comes to parnas is that a person is waiting to have his reward in this world. Now, yes, it's not fair. Why is Yenim have a nice, beautiful house and I live in a shack? Why is it Yenim driving a nice car and not me? Why am I struggling and not me? So you have to know that the reward is really loss of love. Anything we have in this world, Bechlal and Parnasa, is Betz and Perisei and Balamazet. Hashem is really, if you forget, the bigger a tzaddik is, Hashem gives him more of a minimum, because Hashem is wants him to have his whole schar in Olam Haba. Vatischa liyom achram. Maisa b'talmadecha, Trovi Shimon bar Yechaya, Talmud of Rashbi. Sheyotza chutz laretz. He went chutz laretz to make Parnasa. He left the yeshiva there in chutz laretz to make Parnasa. My son tells me in Eretz Yisrael the kids called Shmutz Laretz. That's a new vart. So this guy went Shmutz Laretz to go collect that filthy lucre, that Shmutzike Geld from Chutz Laretz. And you know what? Bo Asher came back to yeshiva driving a green Jaguar. It wasn't, no, Lincoln Navigators for him. Green Jaguar. Comes to the yeshiva, drives up in his Jaguar. And they all said, hey, can we have a spin in the Jaguar? How do you get one of those Jaguars? Can we get one of those? Umiskadim boy. And they were jealous. Talmidim, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Nisht. This is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Talmidim. Had kina. Hoyimavakshin ain't lotes of Chutzlars. Let's go to Chutzlars also. This is it. Let's go. Chutzlars. Rebbe, close the yeshiva. We're out. Chutzlars. We're out of here. The Yad Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon knew all about this. No, they didn't tell the Rebbe. But he found out about it. Voitzian lebikach asal shel pnei Meiron. And Reb Shimon Yochai took him into a valley facing Meiron. There's taka a lot of valleys there. Benispalel, and he davened. V'amar bika bika, and he said he davened to Reb Shimon. Then he addressed the bika, the valley, and he said he mali dinarei zahav. I want a miracle to happen there. I want the whole valley, this huge, deep valley, to be filled from top to bottom, from bottom to top with dinar izav. His chila moishecha is dinar izav lefnei. It didn't just happen like instant zap. abracadabra, magic wand. They, the Talmidim in front of their eyes, the Talmidim, and they saw like a hose for hours and hours and hours gushing, a geyser of dinari zov, more and more and more and more and more. Moshech is narlufneim. Amalemi says, Talmidim is zov etem of Hashem. You want zahav, hare zov, all the money you want. Tlulachem, take it, you can have it, it's kosher money. It is 100% glat kosher money under the badats, under the badash, bezin shel shimon. It's under my hashgach over here, the bezin of the Rashbi. Ella, heyu yoidim call me yishu noitel achshav chelko shalolamabu noitel. You should know that it's possible that when you're taking, whatever you're taking is gold, it's yours, but you're taking your chelik and oilam haba. Ui. This is the biggest danger. So, it's shayach, in other words, that a person can cash in an olam hazeh. This is a whole different thing. Another way that a person with too much ishtadlis, not stealing from anybody, but so if the money was made to give to somebody else, and I take it to myself, so what's happening over here? How could that be? But the Chavos Lubavitch said everything is from the day I was born. From the Mice of Bereishis was decided how much you're going to get. Yeah, it was decided how much Bereishis, Mice of Bereishis, how much you're going to get in this world. But a person has gewaltige zachias olam haba. And if you want, if you're stupid, you can cash in and transform your olam haba into olam hazeh. So if you want, you can take your olam haba. Shein matan schara toira olam haba. Because especially toira. Everything else in the world, sometimes you have a little schara olam hazeh. Even though toira is perisalem olam hazeh. But aval pikein, lemais is a toira be'etzim, the schara, toira is so out of this world. The schar is out of this world, like it says, "Vatisrak li'anachroin," that Talmid Chacham will laugh at the end, not in this world. And therefore, he said, "Talmid, if you want, you can take, but you should know you are taking from Yalom Haba." No one took. And then the Medrash did another story. Ma'aser Reb Shimon Chalafta Shabbos Erev Shabbos Lo Yomi On Lisparnes. Reb Shimon Chalafta came home every Shabbos. There was not a stitch of food, not a drop of food in the house. He went Chutz La'ir. He davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, "I want parnasa." The Rebbeinu Shlom gave him an Evan Toivim and a Shemayim. A hand came out and stretched and gave him a gorgeous diamond. He went quickly to the jeweler. He cashed it in for money and he bought Tzarchei Shabbos. But his wonderful lady Yisrael said, "Meheichan Elo, where did this money come from?" And he said, "Mashapinas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's from the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's kosher money. I promise you, I didn't steal it. It's Pirnes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zoichet and Nisim and the Flies." So she said, "But you must tell me exactly where you got it from. If you don't tell me exactly, I'm not going to eat a thing on Shabbos. This is before the Kiddush. I will not taste from the Kiddush. I will not eat the Chal. You must tell me where it comes from. Rebbeinu Shlom Hayit Morgan. I have to decide. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. You tell me exactly where it came from." And he started to tell the whole Maisa. I dive into the Rebbeinu Shlom, this Palatas Ne'elakim, and I was giving him a Shemayim. She said, "Nina Shemayim, you got it. A miracle happened. That a stone came, like when a Shemayim, a hand gave you a stone. This already is not from Olam Hazeh. This is from Olam Haba. You must promise me that Moisei Shabbos, immediately you're going to get back the diamond, and you're going to somehow redeem it, and you're going to give back the money, and you're going to give it back to Shemayim." Why? He said, "Why? Lama?" She said, "Atarayta shei shulchan chachaser v'shulchan chavercha molei." Do you want, blessed lover, that your shulchan should be missing in Shemayim, and the shulchan of everybody else will be full, and you're going to have a missing shulchan because you cashed in some of your table of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh? So he was very confused. So Rabbi Shimon went to Rebbe. He went, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta went to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said to him, "Go back to your wife. Go back to your wife and tell your wife in my name, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Tell her my name, im shulchanech choser an yamalenu misheli. Lassad lava, we come to Shemayim. I promise you, Mrs. Chalafta, if your shulchan is missing something, because you share the schar with your husband, if your shulchan is missing because your husband cashed in this little stone, you know how many stones you have in Shemayim? You have 3 zillion stones over there in Shemayim. This is bupkis. But if it should be that this is cashing in Olam Haba, and one stone is missing, I promise you, I'll come from my table, and I'll take a stone from my table, and I'll insert it in your table, and I'll give it to you." So she sent back a message with her husband, and she says, Rabbi, v'chi roya adam l'chavei l'olam haba? What do you mean? You think I'm going to see you, and you're going to see me l'olam haba? Loi kol tzadik v'tzadik havi le'olam be'atzmai. Like it says in the Pasuk, that he hoylech adam obeys oylamai. Every person goes la oylamai. There is no two people of the same olam haba. We're not going to see each other. So I'm sorry, you can't be mashlim. So when he heard this, Rav Shimon Chalafta went ahead and gave back the money, got the stone, and when the Shemayim, they took the stone back, and the famous Chazal Rabbi Senu Omru, Hanei Sa'achon Ekoshim Arishon. Because it was harder to give it back, there was a bigger miracle to give it back than to take it in the first place. And the minute Rav Shimon Chalafta lifted his hand up to Shemayim and said, Rabbi Shimon, please take it back, a malach came down and took the stone from him. And the reason for all this is because Ein the Schar is L'Olam Haba Shenema V'Tisr V'Yamachal. So the Velt says, what's the Pshat Tak in Rebbe? And I'll conclude with Rebbe. He says, what's the Pshat in Rebbe? Rebbe Taka said, I'll be Mashlim. And she said, no. The Teretz is, the Velt says, the reason why, she says, very good. She said, everybody in L'Olam Haba is a different world. But you know what she's really saying? She's saying, you know, with all due respect, what you want to give me is not going to replace what's being taken away over here. Because my husband was Laimei Torah, Rav Shimon Chalafta was Laimei Torah Mitoch Hadchak. He learned Torah from poverty. You, Rebbe, you're terrific, you're great, you're greater than my husband, you're wonderful, you're the God Lador, you're the Bala Mishnah, the Zachias, the Gevaltik. But you know what? You're a rich man. And you are learning Torah, your Torah was Mitoch Harchava. And like Pasach, Mev Shulchanash, Rebbe's Shulchan always had, it was full in the winter, it had summer fruits, in the summer it had winter fruits. Rebbe was Laimei Torah Mitoch Hashiras. And you can't compare the schar of someone learns Torah Mitoch Hadchak to the person who learns Mitoch Hashiras. And Mitoch Hashiras is the Hadchak. The schar of my husband is bigger. And if my husband cashes in a dime from his table is more precious than your table. And Lo'olam Haba, you're not going to see my husband. You're not going to see me. You're in your world. You're in the world of those who learn Torah Mitoch Hashiras. And we're going to be in the world of those who learn Torah Mitoch Hadchak. And it's a different world, a different schar. So it's not shayach. It's not shayach. Any rate, the bottom line is, though, here's a whole different cheshbon, though, that a person that shayach, that if a person a person who runs to get money, either he'll get it dishonestly, or you can run to get money and you can be zeichet to a neis, and you're also not clean, because what you're doing is you're cleaning out your olam haba and you're cashing in olam haza. So that's also what to worry about. So a person shouldn't daven for zelcha nisim. You can daven that panos avitev. If you daven for nisim, so daven for a neis. People are davening for a nace. I told you this week what they tell the Brisker Rav. Someone told the Brisker Rav, oh, if the Brisker Rav should only win the lottery and get $250,000, all of his problems would be solved. Oh, how glickach it would be if the Brisker Rav would win $250,000. Brisker Rav says, what? I should trade my bitachin for $250,000? In this world, the biggest chayr is to have bitachin. I don't want to cash in. If I care, the biggest chayr is to have bitachin. For me, the little as possible. And I have to always be chayshish to have a yeskev, a davening to Rabbanishlam for gvaltik and nisim, that I might be cashing in my olam haba.